Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Tell Them Outreach Church broadcast. This is August Francis, pastor of Tell Them Outreach Church and president, leader, I don't know, of Tell Them Outreach Fellowship and Network. We desire to touch the world. We desire to see revival. And to be perfectly honest with you, that's what this program is all about. Now, let me say this. You can reach us at info, I-N-F-O, at tellthemoutreach.com or go to our website at tellthemoutreach.org. Or after the broadcast, you can call us at 409-234-5854. And a further note, when we finish this broadcast on the Tell Them program, wait about a half hour and then come right back to the Blog Talk Radio Network and go to the Remnant Church Bible Institute broadcast page, and we will continue this discussion. This is a very important discussion today. Today we have with us my friend, my brother, Bishop William Mackey, and he is in Scotland, and he recently, very recently, earlier this week as a matter of fact, took a trip to a place where revival, not just a bunch of people having church, but revival is taking place. And Bishop Mackey, talk to us. How are you today?
Yes, good afternoon from a bright but very cold Scotland. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Well, just go ahead. Tell us what's going on in Wales, I believe it is, right?
Yeah, now, a lot of folk think that Christians shouldn't be bothering with Facebook, but through Facebook I've found many, many friends, and one of them is a Reverend Dr. David Owen. Now, he lives in the city of Swansea, or rather just outside the city of Swansea in Wales. For those of you who are not familiar with the layout of the countries in the United Kingdom, if you're looking at the map of the United Kingdom, Wales is the bit that looks like a pig's head, and he lives at the bottom end. But one Sunday a month, he gathers with other pastors and like-minded Christians, and they go to the north end because they've seen revival breaking out, and there's been healing. And it's all because they're preaching the message as it should be preached. They don't water it down for any reason. They don't put in bits that all tickle your ears so you'll come and listen to more. They give you the truth so that you are challenged. And that's the way that proper preaching should be. Now, recently, Pastor David and friends were down in London, and they were asked to pray for a lady who, if I've got the story right, this lady had been told she'd a matter of hours, possibly days, to live because cancer had just taken over. And so they went in and they prayed. Now, they didn't pray that she'd be comfortable in her last hours, in her last days. They prayed to the living God that he could take away the cancer, because that's what faith's all about. And they prayed that this lady would be healed. And within days, she was sent home, cured. Now, that's revival.
Yes.
And I went down last Sunday, 1st of February, partly because I've never met David. I'd only spoken to him either on Facebook or by phone. And he put up on the advert on Facebook that there was a lady coming to speak about being cured of cancer. And, of course, I presumed it was the lady from the hospital in London, but it wasn't. But the message itself, I mean, they hire another church. They borrow another church one Sunday a month. They gather together, and they really have church. The message knocks you off your feet. On Sunday last, David said that for the next 4 months, so that's first Sunday of every month, February, March, April, and May, the Lord had laid it on his heart to talk about a particular subject. And then that was broken down again into four different subtopics. And I was really, really encouraged by being there on Sunday, because he preaches the same sort of message that you do, and he preaches the same sort of message as I give out on my YouTube teaching videos. But David goes one further. He actually names names. Now, he said on Sunday night that he was told at the last meeting that one particular person, at least, would never be coming back again because he names names. I recorded his message on YouTube, and it's now up there to be found. It's on the Golden Triangles page that you have on Facebook. It's also on the Third Millennium Covenantals Facebook page. And it got glowing encouragement comments, apart from one gentleman. And he said, okay, we should never judge, lest we be judged. But, of course, David was thinking, okay, I need to come back to that. But our friend Sam, who lives in Kentucky, he did a better job, and he got in there very quickly.
Okay.
Now, to give you, for instance, he named Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon?
E.W. Kenyon, yes.
Yeah, he named Kenyon. He named Coleman. Copeland, rather. He named Benny Hinn. And, I'm trying to think of that. Joyce Miles got a mention. Hagen got a mention. But the thing is, he's not just naming names for the sake of naming names, because we all know that these people are preaching another gospel. And I've done a YouTube teaching on this. The Bible's quite clear. If we teach another gospel, then we're preaching hell and damnation. And,
yes.
Okay, Hagen's gone. Kenyon's gone. But you've got Joyce Miles, Benny Hinn, and Copeland all have big followings because they've not only got their churches, but they're worldwide on television, and they're preaching the wrong gospel. So not only was David pushing this message across, and he was quoting from Scripture to back up what he was saying, but he also went on to Google, which is a wonderful concept. Because by punching in what they were saying, he could come out with books that they had published. So it told you the name of the book, the date of publication, and then it told you the page in the book, so you didn't have to read the whole book. It told you the page.
Bishop Mackey, let me address something here for those of that might have that same mindset about judging. If you read that entire chapter where Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged, he is not talking about making a decision. He is talking about passing sentence on people. In other words, we can't say that that they're going to hell and there's no hope for them. But you have to read that entire thing, because he goes on after that to say that we have to examine what's going on. And then in another place of Scripture, Jesus says, by their fruit you'll know them, what's coming out of them. In other words, what easily passes from them, as easily as fruit grows from a tree, we recognize whether a person is preaching the gospel based on the fruit, what comes forth from them. And then later on in the New Testament, Paul starts naming names, and this is what he says, and I'm paraphrasing, he says that they are preaching false doctrine and their mouths must be stopped. So there is biblical precedent and scriptural precedent for what Pastor Owen was doing. So for those who want further instruction on that, you can email me and I'll definitely give you all the scripture references. Go ahead.
Yes, now, as I said, he'd gone on to Google, so he was able to print off all this information. Who said what? What was the date of the book? What was the name of the book? What was the page of the book? And you're quite right, because the scripture says we've got to test everything to see that it matches up with the first doctrine. And if it doesn't match up with that first doctrine, then we can't accept it. Now, by publicly naming people, we're doing so because we love them enough to point out their error. And if they could change from what they're doing to what they should be doing, given the size of their audiences globally, then there's so many more souls that are going to make it to glory.
That's right. That's right. Including their own.
Including their own. Yes. I mean, some of the things he mentioned that Copeland said, you and I discussed yesterday, because we've heard him say these things.
Yes.
Benny Hinn, he stood up one time and said, I'm fed up of people challenging me because doesn't the Bible say that you should not judge or attack God's elect? But if they were truly God's elect, then they wouldn't be diversing from the true message of the cross.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, Benny Hinn, on a couple of occasions on TV, because he's been challenged, he said, I wish the Holy Spirit would just give me a machine gun and I would kill them all. That's not the way for a pastor to speak.
That's right.
Especially when you've got millions across the globe that are following his every word.
Well, didn't Jesus run into that with two of his disciples, and he told them, you don't know what spirit you're of, when they said, let fire come down from heaven and destroy these people.
Yeah.
And Jesus rebuked them. So I guess Jesus was out of line, too, by telling them they didn't know what spirit they were following. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I mean, Pastor David said on Sunday he'd been preaching in a Baptist church, and he said a few things that kind of rocked the boat from what they had been taught or led to believe. And he told them to look things up in their Bible, and most of them had never actually opened their Bible, seriously opened their Bible. So to catch them out, I mean, I've done a couple of the ones that he did, but to catch them up, he says, if you want to know exactly where in the Bible it says what I'm doing is right, he says, it's in Revelations chapter 23. Well, it stops at 22, but they were looking for chapter 23. Or he would say, my favorite one that he does as well is, if you're wondering where this comes from, he says, it's Hezekiah 3:16. Again, it doesn't exist. But people who read the Bible find it. Would already know, that these scripture references don't exist.
Yes.
And that again, is the danger, because you and I over the years have discussed places I've been to where if the pastor says something, then the people in the congregation take it as gospel. They don't go and check it. But the Bible, I mean, the gospel says, check each thing. Test the spirit. But if you're not a properly born-again Christian, then you don't have that spirit within you to test. And if you don't have that correct spirit, then you need to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. because it's the Holy Spirit that divides the word and divides the good preachers from the bad preachers. And I'm not saying we're good preachers, I'm just saying we're preaching what the Bible tells us we have to preach. We don't bend it, we don't paraphrase it, we don't rewrite it. I mean, Copeland says on more than one occasion that Christ had to take on the person of Satan, the personification of Satan, to defeat Satan. Now, Christ said on the cross to one of the thieves, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And yet Copeland says, well, actually, Christ went to hell for 3 days. So where did the thief go? Did Christ bring him down with him? Christ said on the cross, it was finished. He didn't have to go to hell. He'd done it. Dying on the cross, his blood cancelled out the Old Testament law.
I mean, the scripture is very clear as to an account, if you will, of the, I guess you could say, the 3 days. And we have to understand that it's 3 days to us. It was a moment in time for the Lord, because there is no, you know, after here, the watches, you know, watches don't go to heaven or hell. It doesn't work that way. And it says that if you want to say he did anything, the Bible talks about him going into paradise or into the bosom of Abraham and actually talking to those who had died waiting for the promise of the Messiah. And the Bible says he led captivity captive. In other words, he conquered and took the saints who were the Old Testament saints who were in what was called the bosom of Abraham and led them out so that they could enter the presence of the Most High God. And that's
because until Jesus did that, they couldn't go to heaven before he had done what he did.
That's right. That's right. And so where this concept, and that is one thing that people will block revival when we insist on believing something that is not even veiled, but obviously contrary to scripture. I mean, these things are not, we're not talking about false doctrine that sneaks in. We're talking about stuff that all you have to do is go to the Word, and it says exactly the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was the emphasis on a lot of, you know, here in the United States, we start to think, and really not only the United States, because you have Australia, you know, with the Hillsong model, and we have, you know, things that are done in Europe and in the United Kingdom, and it's about exciting music, it's about lights, it's about a brilliant platform or stage production and putting it all together. Were these services anything like that, as far as, you know pumping people up, you know, to get them excited
about the services in Wales?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely not. We weren't there to be entertained. We were there to be fed. And when Pastor David mentioned that he'd been criticized for naming names, he said that we as ministers, be that evangelists or pastors or whatever our position within the church is, God only promised a remnant of the church. So we know the whole church isn't going to be saved because of the false doctrines that are being taught. But he said this, though. Pastor David said this. We as pastors and ministers, we are under shepherds of Christ, and it's up to the shepherds to protect the sheep. We feed the sheep the word that is given to us in the Bible. We don't deviate. But if someone comes along and starts to deviate and gives another message, be it prosperity, seeker-friendly, or the faith movement, then we have to stand up and say, this is wrong. Now, okay, people like David, yourself, and myself, that are in the minority that are doing this, but that's because we are the remnant. Because the Bible says he will take his remnant with him. So the whole church isn't going to be saved. I remember many years ago. I remember many years ago, Jehovah's Witnesses coming to the door, and they asked me to ask them questions. Of course, they've got their own version of the scripture, and it's not called the Bible, it's just called Holy Scripture, because they've rewritten it. And many Jehovah's, but many people don't realize Jehovah's Witnesses was started by three Catholic bishops that broke away from the concept of the Roman Catholic Church. And I asked one of them, I says, well, there's going to be 144,000 saved according to Revelation. What do you think of that? And the guy that was trying to convert me to be a Jehovah's Witness says, well, I don't want to be one of them. So why are you here? Because I want to be one of the ones that are saved.
Wow. That's wild. He really had no concept of what was supposed to be going on.
Well, he'd never actually come across that scripture, and I wondered if it was maybe one of the ones that was left out when they wrote their own version.
Well, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how you get 144,000 Jews out of 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. As the scripture actually says, I'm still trying to figure out where Jehovah's Witnesses come from. But that's it's a decision. You know, there is a book, I read a few pages of it last night. I got a sample of it downloaded from Amazon, and it's called Hearing God. It's by, I believe his name is Benjamin Dixon. And one of the first things he mentions, this is just in the introduction, this is not really in the flow of the book, he talks about the fact that we give invitations to people to know the Lord on a personal basis, to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. He says, and then we go about only giving them information about Jesus. We never talk to them about, matter of fact, most churches, most Christian denominations do not or will turn up their nose or turn a jaundiced eye to you if you tell them the Lord said to me or the Lord spoke to me. They will look at you like you have six heads and 18 toes, because they don't do anything except learn about the Lord. They never have a real relationship with the Lord. And that is what goes back to the scripture where Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you.
Yes.
And you know, you and I both have these doctorates dealing with theology. And, you know, when you get right down to it, theology is the study of somebody who can't be studied, because he said his ways are past finding out. So how do we get the degrees in somebody who can't be studied? You've got
to know
him.
I think it's just an excuse for the universities to take money off us.
but how does this issue of revival look, because I have an opinion. I'm going to give a teaser now. I'm going to hold my opinion about what's going on in Wales until the next broadcast in the next half hour that we deal with. But what do you what do you see going on there? I mean, you were there for one service. You do intend to go back, but what is actually happening?
Move of the Holy Spirit there. I believe that the fire of revival has started, and I believed that before I got there because, as I told you before I went away, my family and I were being attacked from all sides. The rail tickets, the tickets to get on the train to go down, went missing. And we searched over and over again. We knew the drawer they'd been put in, couldn't find them. We tried all other places. We sat down, we prayed. I opened the drawer, and there they were.
Wow.
And yet,
and you were even caught after you got there.
Yeah, I mean, there was problems after I got there that would sort of put me off coming back. Like, I checked into the hotel at 4:45 in the afternoon. I had to be in the church for 5:30, and it was just a couple of hundred yards down the road from the hotel. But the hotel closed down at 6:00 at night. But I'm going back. I'm going back either June or July because I'm going over to Europe with the Scottish War Blinded in between times. But one of the congregation said that she has a friend who is a Christian who runs a bed and breakfast, and we will stay there, and we will be ferried by friends to and from the church for the service. But we will be going back because I didn't come across Pastor David just by chance. I don't believe in chance.
Right.
God has brought us together for a reason, the same way that God brought you and I together.
Yes.
I mean, I could get kicked out of another church I'd been going to for 4 years before we'd been friends on Facebook for some time. But it wasn't until I got kicked out of a church 4 years ago that you and I really started working together.
That's correct. And I believe that there are some things that are taking place in the spirit now that are going to bring all of this together. You went to this revival, and I must admit that at first when you told me about it, my thought went to a very traditional way of thinking, but what we don't understand, what the Holy Spirit had to deal with me about, is the fact that there is a definite meaning to the word revival. It is to bring life back. It is the same thought as if you had somebody who passed out and they stopped breathing. And they called in folks, or their heart had stopped, and they called in people to revive that person. They're not getting a new person. They are bringing life back into that person. I just got notification that we have about less than 90 seconds left in this broadcast. So what I'm going to say is that in about a half hour at 8 a.m., we're going to be switching over to the Remnant Church Bible Institute. And those of you listening on Blog Talk, if you'll put Remnant Church Bible Institute into your search on Blog Talk, or you look for August Francis or something like that, you will find, or Bill Mackey for that matter, you will find these pages there. At 8 o'clock, we will continue this discussion, and I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And Bishop Mackey, I thank you for being with us on the Tell Them broadcast. We're going to move over to RCBI. You got about a half hour to recuperate, and then we will start. We'll pick up from this point. So if there's anything that you wanted to add or thought of, we'll be able to put it on there. So I thank you for being with us on this broadcast, and we'll see you on the next broadcast. Thank you very much, Bishop Mackey.
Okay. God bless.
Bless you.